4 TMA mobile and monitoring.
I'm in Greenville, and I'm doing all right today. How about you?
Simon, how are you?
Good. I'm just running a couple quick errands here. If I remember right, your job keeps you on the road a good bit. Are you coming home from work right now, or where are you?
I just pulled out of the Sphinx on 290 heading home. I got about an hour drive ahead of me.
Well, I don't know how you do it. I've been properly spoiled by working from home for a couple years now, so whenever I have to run errands, it feels like an epic adventure. But I do wish I was in the car a little more often just to be able to get on the air more. I only have a mobile rig. I don't have anything set up at home. But all right, you got about an hour ahead of you. Traffic been good to you today?
Traffic's not been bad. The truck hasn't been good to me today. It's busted a fuel filter today and left me on the side of the road for a couple hours until I could get somebody to bring me a filter.
How'd it work out? Did you hail someone on the air or just local contact or what?
I just called one of my customers that works on these trucks to bring me a filter, and we changed it right there where we were at.
Great. It's funny you should mention that. Last time I got on the mobile rig here, I was talking to Steve, and he had trouble with a school bus of his all day, so I hope I don't have some kind of curse on people whenever I get on the air.
It's just part of life. If you drive, you're going to pay. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had a job for years. I was a mechanic before this.
For a mechanic before this, that's the second skill set I wish I had. I really enjoy tinkering on my Jeep, but I don't have a mechanical background at all. How many years did you do that, and where were you working?
I was a mechanic for almost 20 years as a profession, and I worked for a Ford and GM dealer up in Brevard and Hendersonville.
Yeah, Brevard and Hendersonville is a beautiful area. I grew up in North Carolina, so I know that area a little bit. All right, but that's good to know. I'm new to ham, and I'm just as new to anything mechanical. So between the Jeep and the radio, those are my two hobbies where I'm kind of learning as I go. But it's good to know if I ever caught you, I might be able to ask you a couple questions.
Do what I can to help you. The radio, you probably know as much as I do. And the vehicle, I may have to look it up to help you there, because all of them are so different anymore.
True, but fortunately, this is an older Wrangler TJ, which, as you may know, is one of the models where it's still fairly easy to work on. It hasn't been turned into a giant computer that requires software and special tools. It's basically an old tractor engine in a cute little cab. So anyway, it's simple enough that even someone like me can figure it out as I go. So that's been pretty fun so far.
Mine V6, the 4.0, is a good little engine.
Is actually the 2.5-liter four-cylinder, which I like to describe as a rarity and a special edition, because there aren't many of them. But the reason there are many of them is obviously it wasn't too popular. So, it's a little engine, but it's geared right. It can do fine. It's not going to do well at highway speeds or towing anything too heavy. But anyway, yeah, similar, of course, similar engine, just that smaller one.
Don't notice too. Yeah, but with that short wheelbase, I wouldn't want to be towing much of anything.
Absolutely right. In fact, the funniest thing I ever did towing was for a little while, I lived in Maryland on the shore, and I had about a 3,000-pound, 21-foot Grady White motorboat, and I needed to get it to the water, but we lived only about a mile and a half from the water. Very flat, back roads, no traffic, no hills. And I decided to go for it, and I did manage. I put it in low, and I kept the speed very low, and I managed to haul that boat to and from the boat ramp a few times. But that's certainly nothing I'd ever do on a highway or really at a speed over 10 miles an hour, to be honest.
That short wheelbase there will turn around on you in just a minute.
Well, hey, bringing it back to radio for a minute, I'm just curious. I mean, when you said I probably know as much as you do, I think you were joking, or maybe you didn't know you were joking, because I doubt anybody on the air knows less than I do right now. But I'm just wondering, just curious. Something I'm trying to figure out right now is I'm wondering about I guess it's kind of the history of our band plans. Like, how did we get to this point where we've got the specific band plans we have today? I've been trying to make sense of which band plans are allocated to which purposes, whether it's CB or VHF or ham or what. Do you know of any resources, whether it's anything online or a book or anything, where I could try to get my mind around, you know, just kind of what the reasons were, whether or not they're good reasons, but how we got to where we are today with the current band plan so split up in such interesting ways?
I would start with the ARRL website and go there, because they're the ones that do a lot of the allocations for that stuff, and the FCC, obviously, but they're the ones that work most of that stuff out.
Got a lot of resources online, so yeah, I'll check there, and maybe I'll drop a question on the ARRL online forum. I don't think I've done that yet, but yeah, all right, I'll ask there. That's a good suggestion. Thank you.
With somebody listening right now that can answer that question, if they'll just chime in.
True. Well, if anyone is listening, I'm actually about to have to head out into my errand, but I'll stay put for a minute just to listen, see if anybody else chimes in. Otherwise, Patrick, it's been a pleasure talking, and I look forward to the next time I catch you on the air. So this is KZ4TMA, monitoring for one more minute here before I head out. Thanks again, Patrick. Good to chat.
I am. I didn't catch his name. I got KZ4TMA, I believe it is. This is K4OIM. Name's Walt. I'm up here in Lake Bowen in Inman. And evidently you're a new ham. And I'm net control on Tuesday night. And after I call the net on Tuesday night, I have a round table. As for anybody, new ham, especially new hams and the old timers, that can come in there and ask questions just like you were answering. And I wish you'd check in with us. K4OIM.
Hi, Walt. Thanks for chiming in. Yeah, this is Simon, S-I-M-O-N, Simon. And you got my call sign right, KZ4TMA, Kilo Zulu 4 Tango Mike Alpha. And yeah, I have heard you check into some nets a few times. I didn't know that, I keep forgetting that there's a schedule, and I didn't know that you were the Tuesday night guy. And that's really good to know about Tuesday night's roundtable. I will do my best to check in on a Tuesday. That'd probably be a good place for me to ask a lot of the questions I have. So thanks for the advice. I will do that next time I can. My evening schedule's a little unpredictable with young kids. But tell me, are there other special themes for every night of the week? For instance, I know about Wednesday night being the swap net, and now you're telling me that Tuesday night is a bit of a round table. Are there other nights with certain, you know, topics or themes that I should know about?
Last night when Gary, K-I-4-D-O-S, he calls Wednesday night, and he has the SWAT net, and everybody's congratulated me and thanked me for starting the round table after the net. But Gary said, Walt, that is something like Drag Q. They could check in on Drag Q and ask questions. But a lot of the new hams really feel embarrassed to even keep the mic up and talk. But somehow they feel comfortable coming back in after I send my net report in and get on there and talk. And even if you did not check in during the regular net, I can still check you in and amend my net report. I'd love to hear you, Simon. And there's a wealth of knowledge out there that don't know everything. I've been a ham now for 43 years. And I try to help somebody else. I'd say more than 90% of the new hams haven't got a neighbor to help them along. So that's what I'm doing. I'm not trying to personally be their only Elmer. It's the other guys on the net that are staying there after I close the net out and helping these guys with questions about antennas, about radios, about software they need for their SDR radios and all. So I'd appreciate it. It's check in with us on Tuesday night, Simon.
Much. I will certainly do that. I'm a new ham, but I'm not too embarrassed to key up and ask my questions. I spent a lot of time in grad school in my adult life, and I learned that there's just no point holding back your questions. You got to go ahead and ask. Someone else probably has that question too. And even if no one else has a question, it's the only way to learn. So, I'd be happy to come in and be the obnoxious new guy with a bunch of questions on a Tuesday night roundtable. So I'll see if I can do that sometime. So thanks very much. Thanks for the recommendation. And, Patrick, again, it was good chatting with you all. I got to jump out here now. But Walt, I hope to catch you on a Tuesday night. And, Patrick, I'll see if I catch you on the air again sometime. So this is KZ4TMA. I'm going to have to be all clear after your final. Thanks again.
KZ4TMA, 732, enjoyed the QSO. And always, you can give me a shout anytime. I'm in and out a lot during the day, but I'll always try to answer you if you do give me a call. And Walt, go ahead.
Feel bad about you about the day you had. I went out there today and raised that truck up a little higher and got under it and opened my toolbox up on back of the truck to get my tools out. I was going to do it. I was going to take the one bolt out of the motor mount going to the frame and the two out going to the block. When I opened my toolbox on back of the truck, all of my tools were gone.
For all your tools?
Butcher. And I've got a padlock to go on my toolbox, but guess where it was at? In the toolbox.
It's a good place for it, but I tell you what, there's been so much thieving going on lately, it's crazy the amount of people stealing cats, stealing from other people, just everything.
On the news the last two or three nights, they got videos of these guys backing their truck up and hooking up the trailers with boats on them or with zero-turn lawnmowers and just driving away.
Boats, campers, cars, you name it, they're stealing it. If it ain't bolted down, and even then, I think they're trying to take it.
90% of the time, when I walk out of my shack down here, I do not lock the front door. My daughter gets all over me about not doing that. Most time I leave this two meter radio on and my computer on. But the only place I go is when I borrow your truck now and run up to him and to grab a few drinks or to the Dollar General or something, but I'm going to start locking up now. K4 OIM for ID.
Man, we got to live that way. Up where I'm at, it's the same. It's not as bad as down here, but even there, it's still, you got to lock everything up because you just don't know when they're coming to take it. And I've got cameras around on everything, so it's sad that we have to be that way. KO4 HKX Friday.
Comment. OIM, this is W2MJB. Mark. I was just commenting. I had a friend at work who lived up in the Taylor's area, and he had a camping trailer. Somebody come along and just hauled it away, and they did find it out in the middle of some field behind a bunch of trees, and it was just beat to crap to where they ended up, the insurance company totaled it, and ended up getting another trailer. But I guess that goes to say we need to put those locks on the hitches or the balls there on the trailer so people can't hook up and haul them away.
Well, mile away, they would be four flat tires on it where I got my ground rods, drove up the ground out in the front window here, and they'd have to drive them ground rods down and take my ground wires loose, but I guess it'd be worth the time, all the radio equipment I got in here. Glad you're back in town, Mark. How was your trip?
And dry, but it was good. Got to help my son move out of his apartment and into another, like a condominium with a friend. A friend bought a condominium, and so he's finishing out his last semester, and then he'll hopefully get a job and be on his own financially. But it was a good trip, good family reunion, and enjoyed it.
Last night on the news, we're after this COVID thing, and everybody working at home, nobody wants to go back to work anymore. They want to work at home. And back in the 60s, when Khrushchev said at the United Nations meeting, we won't have to bum you at all. We'll defeat you in your own backyards. That's about what China's doing. Everything we buy is from China, even our radio equipment, our tools, everything. And America has just got lazy.
Agree with you there, Walt. But anyway, I'll just wanted to make that comment. I'll give it back to you and the other radio to continue talking.
I don't think you're selling Chinese tools, are you?
Some of them are. I don't like it, but it's what we got to do. And a lot of it boils down to the people won't pay the price for the American goods.
They priced ourselves right out of the market. Because nobody's going to work for the wages that they pay the Chinese and the Mexicans nowadays. We just priced ourselves right out of the market, and Walmart at first was all American made, and now everything you go in there and buy is either from China and Vietnam or Pakistan. I can't believe I spent 18 months in Vietnam and I'm buying clothes made in Vietnam now.
Believe how things have changed in the last 40 to 50 years in this country.
Bad weather up your way night before last.
Yes, sir, I did. Transylvania County, the last I seen on the news, we got 17 inches of rain up there.
How much we got up here on Lake Bowen, but I was fixing to have to call the net, and I was about to abandon ship. And I talked to KI4DOS the other week about what we do in case of a severe storm and all. Do I stay in here and cut the net short or what? And Gary said, well, that's what we're there for, national emergency traffic. Boy, my daughter didn't like that. She was ready to pack up and go. I said, well, you get my grandson and go. I'm going to stay down here and call the net and see if anybody needs any help. But it got kind of scary.
Well, was out in a lot of it, still driving around. So, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. But, yeah, that net. But the thing is it, your net control, but there ought to be people there just like me that can step up and help you when things go wrong for you also. Like if your radio goes down, somebody ought to be there helping you out. There ought to be a backup plan there, I think.
What Gary told me, I believe it was last night when I was talking to him, he said, well, we need net controllers right now. And I went back and talked to Dave. I told him if something come up one night and somebody couldn't be there, to just call me or email me and I'd fill in. But Gary said, Walt, anytime you don't hear, if it's 9 o'clock and the net hadn't started, a few minutes after 9, if the, the net hadn't started, go ahead and pick the net up. You don't need permission. But I was scared to death calling the net. Because I was Mike Shy. I was CW. And the first night I called the net, I said, oh, my Lord, what have I got into? But I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. I always thought everybody was in a hurry to call the net, get off, send their net report in, and be done with it. But it's not that way at all, Patrick.
First night you called that net, I thought you'd done a good job. I think you do a good job. And yes, I have been thinking about jumping in there and putting my name in the hat too. So, but I'm trying to get a little more experience for myself on there before I just jump into something also. But at night, like when you're calling the net, I'm sitting there with a pad and pen writing down call signs just like you are. Practicing myself, so I do that a lot of nights already.
Yes, sir. Do about two or three per night. But when one person checks in and then goes and checks his wife in, and you're trying to write down his call sign, his name, and then he comes out with his QTH Hendersonville. And I'm trying to write Hendersonville. He done gave his wife's call sign and her name. And I done lost all of that. Let alone when, oh my God, I can't think of his name. Mike, over there in Greenville that checks in. And then he's got his wife, Mary, and his daughter, Mary. And I'm trying to write all that down. By the time I done got one of them down, I done skipped and missed three of them, and then somebody else has checked in.
I'm right there with you. And some of these people, I don't know how they do it. They rattle those call signs off so fast, I can't even tell what they're saying. And so that's why I intentionally take my time and slow down when I'm calling mine out. Because as I'm sitting there practicing that, I've seen that firsthand. It's hard to try to keep up, especially when you're taking down that much information that quick.
You get to where you recognize some of their voices, like Miss Lorena, KK4ONO over there in Piedmont. I know she's going to check in KK4MDW, Rick, her husband, and KM4MPQ, I believe it is, Michelle. I already have that wrote down by the time she started with her call sign. And when I go to Mike through Papa, she's usually the first one. And then James up there, when I start off with the I through L, James up there in Tuxedo. He's always been the first one. And there's a couple of other guys the last couple of weeks got in there. It's a little quicker than he is. K4 OIM for ID.
Just 873 stepped up into the black hole right here at the state line. So if you can still hit me, I'm going to say 73 for a little bit. K04 HKX, and I'll be clear on your phone.
HKX, K4 OIM. Great talk to you, Patrick. I'll be down here monitoring, but yeah, you in the back hole, I can tell. 73, buddy.
DJW Mobile.
DJW, it's K8HAN. How are you?
Ken, W4DJW, doing good. How are you?
Good. It's Brian here in Greenville. I recognize your voice from the net.
Sound Greenville?
Yeah, Gower Subdivision. I'm driving out now to go down Lawrence Road. I'm headed to Jail Man to pick up my son.
Well, you've got the best signal. There's a couple of people in Greenville that have really good signals. I don't know what the magic is, but you sound really good for somebody that's in Greenville.
It's just a mobile Chinese radio mounted in my car with a magnetic mount antenna.
Sometimes it's hard to get a lot of people. Well, I guess it's because they're on handhelds, too, low power. And all the buildings around through there, and on a rubber duck. Right? I guess you won't get that many people that are in a mobile moving around. But that's what we were looking for linking the 8-2 up to the 6-1 to get around that, because there are people in Greenville that do struggle to get in, and it's probably because they want to do it on the handheld.
No, I've never had a problem. On the handheld, if I'm inside, you know, it's obviously a problem. But I built a J-pole antenna that's up on top of my house, and it hits the repeater just fine with 5 watts.
I've done the line of sight thing between you and the Caesar's Head, the tower, the WYFF tower, on Google Maps, where you can do a cross-section of the earth between two different places.
Is WYFF and the repeater for this club still in, are they in the same place?
Yeah, we're mounted on their tower. Our antenna is 450 feet up on the WYFF tower, which is a 900-foot tower. Their TV antenna is another 550 feet above our antenna.
Yeah, okay, I'll check that out. I know that I've looked at, the Caesar's Head Peak. I think it's about 50 miles from here or something like that. I can't remember.
Where we are, it's 3,500 feet. I don't think it's 50 miles. It's 21 miles from where I am. It might be 30 miles from where you are. I don't think it's 50 miles. I think 50 miles probably going all the way down into lower part of Anderson.
Number wrong. I don't know. I've been amazed with both of my signal here, getting out. Of course, I just have to hit. I figure if I hit the repeater does the rest of the work. So all I have to do is make it to the repeater. But even on HF, I've had a lot of good luck with a strong signal. I don't know. Maybe I'm just blessed with that.
Even a lot of iron in the dirt underneath of you. that usually helps a lot if there's a lot of iron around in the area. Like you're sitting inside a parabolic dish.
I have a G5 RV antenna. It's a wire antenna just up in the trees. It's about 40 feet high. I got it up there with a bow and arrow. And it's the only antenna I have. And I've been able to hit Alaska. I've been able to talk to Italy. I've talked to England. And today I talked to Washington State. So I'm pretty amazed at how far a radio signal can travel.
The arrow from ripping right off of that line, how does that work? I struggle with that with a wrist rocket, and I know with a bow and arrow it's going to take off even faster than it is with a wrist rocket.
Well, so I tied a fishing line to the arrow, and then I tied some paracord to the fishing line, and then I tied the paracord to the antenna, and that's how I got it up there. But I have a scar on my hand. I'll never do this again. I fired the bow and arrow on the first launch, shot the arrow up, and the fishing line dragged against my hand and put a line. I could actually see my hand smoking after that first shot and realized that I had just done something very dumb.
Is leather guards for? Because that happens. I've done the exact same thing. I know what you're talking about. I don't have a scar from it, but it hurt. It was painful. But when I try to get high with, so two things happens with the wrist rocket, which probably don't have a problem with the second one with the arrow. But if I try to shoot it really high, I use these orange sinkers, and it slings them right off the line. It breaks line, even on 10 or 15 or 20-pound test or 18-pound test, slings the lead right off the end of the line. So that was always a problem. And then the wind would blow. A bow in the fishing line would get created, so the sinker would go right over the tree, and the fishing line would go around the side of the tree. Anyway, I struggled with that for a long time before I switched over to hacky sacks and waxed rope on big shot slingshots that are about 6 feet tall or taller. They're used by those tree fillers. And that will get a heavy line up in the tree, and then it will come down the other side. That's the other thing with the lead sinker. It will come down maybe halfway down the length of the tree and then just kind of hang there and dangle. So that was always an issue for me, too.
Yeah, I tried, I guess you call it a wrist rocket. It's a slingshot that goes around your wrist and has that extra support so you can really pull on it without pulling it backwards. I tried that first with a couple of fishing sinkers that I bought at Academy Sports, but I kept getting, you know, I hit the wrong branch or it would stop on a leaf and bounce back, and it was just driving me nuts. So then I remembered I had a compound bow, and that's what I used to put that up there. But I know a lot of people use those launchers. They launch T-shirts with it, the baseball game.
Potato gun. I built one of those too, and I used I had a longer barrel on it, just because I thought I might get more distance. And I used a roller off of a paint roller instead of a tennis ball. So it was kind of shooting like a tube, like a rocket out of the end of it. But I got afraid of the pressure. Because to get it to go high enough, I needed like about 80 to 100 pounds of pressure. And I just wasn't comfortable pressurizing that PVC. That's when I switched over and got the big stick, or I think that's what they call it. I think they call it a big stick. It's just a huge slingshot with like half-inch diameter rubber bands on each side. And that'll sling a 8 to 16-ounce hacky sack over any tree. And if the wax line starts giving a bow because the wind is blowing, you can just kind of put some friction on that line, and that line will straighten right up, and that heavy hacky sack will just keep right on going straight. And anyway, this is going to be my last one because I'm about to back it in the driveway. W4DJW.
Okay, well, it's good to talk to you. Getting antennas up in the tree turned out to be much more of an adventure than I expected. There's a lot of rich people out there with some really, really tall towers that you see them climbing up on. They post pictures where they're in a harness and up on top of a 200-foot tower or something on their lawn. I don't think I'll ever have that. But I guess I don't need it if I could do this way. So I've been pretty happy with what I got.
I couldn't have a tower anyway, even if I wanted one. But anyway, take care, stay safe. Catch you on the net tonight, W4DJW.
W4DJW, this is KHAN. Thanks for this QSO. I'm out.